What's going on, everybody? Pete Jensen, Rob Reese, and guest Davey Satriano in the house talking Stanley Cup playoffs and fantasy and DFS sports betting. We're here with you in the month of June, guys. We're into the second round of the playoffs. All the matchups have been finally determined. What's going on, guys?
Yeah, welcome back, Davey. Good to see you. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. It's nice to finally have some more action, you know? We need more series. We got some. I love the snake drafts we do. Just bring it on. Let's go. Love it.
Well, last but not least, I mean, I think we saw something happen that blew our minds, right? I mean, clearly the Toronto Maple Leafs imploded on the ice, something we really didn't expect to happen this year. It was probably the most favorable matchup that they've had in recent memory in the postseason. It didn't matter. They blew a 3-1 series lead, fell to 0-8, totally mind-boggling stat in potential series clinching games since 2018. That's really hard to do, guys. Where do the Maple Leafs go from here before we spin it forward to the second round?
Well, I had Montreal in seven because of Carey Price, really. And I mean, there wasn't much else though. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that, you know, I was really confident about Montreal.
Winner.
But it just comes down to goaltending in the end of the day. And it's not that Jack Campbell didn't play well, but to go along with goaltending, you need a couple guys to score goals consistently throughout the series. And we saw Montreal get that, you know, Corey Perry chipping in here and there, Suzuki getting going a little bit, right? And then on the other side of the ice, Austin Matthews, their predominant player, Rocket Richard winner, had a great regular season, didn't really ring the bell in the postseason much. So I think that's where you kind of draw the line and you look at Toronto and say, you can't really pick too many flaws there, but they just didn't have enough guys to get it done. And at the end of the day, now we're in another offseason dissecting what went wrong with the Maple Leafs, add them into the Oilers conversation. You have the two marquee players in the Canadian market on the golf course already, and it's kind of disappointing to see that.
Well, the thing for me was just watching that game seven. I mean, they just came out completely. They didn't even show up to game seven after all that, everything that was going on. Just the Canadian just dominated them. But, you know, looking at, I think, Rob, you know, you sent me something yesterday, which I think is true. Austin Matthews, what he said earlier in the season, you know, we haven't really been tested. Like, during the season, they really weren't. I mean, yes, they had the Frederick Anderson injury, but Jack Campbell just came in and played like a Vezina Trophy winner. But the teams they played, this Montreal, Ottawa, they played all these teams eight times, and he just said, you know, this, they're like exhibition games mostly. So they got to the playoffs. We know the playoffs are a different animal, and yeah, we saw what happened.
Hey, our good pal Nick Albergo has been tweeting out the numbers. Go look at the power play numbers since March. I mean, absolutely. I mean, disastrous, dreadful. Exactly, Pete. So that's a part of it also. I mean, the power play dries up. The goals dry up. The goaltending is a mismatch. And Nick Albergo, I said the Leafs were moving on. They're going to win the division. Nick Albergo put me in my place. Robbie put me in my place. I mean, Petey, you put me in my place. Another year with Toronto. Tough to handle. If you're a Maple Leafs fan, it is tough.
I mean, it's 2 years in a row of both of those teams, Edmonton and Toronto, just totally falling flat on their faces in the postseason. Last year was in the bubble when they were the host teams. And then this year, it's a same old story. So, yeah, for the Maple Leafs, definitely the star power wasn't there outside of Nylander. That's one guy you can't really criticize too much, but because he had a heck of a series. But, and of course, Kerfoot stepped up. But then, like, Muzzin got injured, and that was one of those key things at the beginning of the series. Remember, I was saying, like, the guys like Foligno and Muzzin and Hyman, like, they need to be not only healthy, but they need to be kind of, you know, taking their physical toll on the opposition. Turns out Foligno missed a couple of games earlier in the series. And then, you know, when push came to shove at the end, Muzzin was banged up. And of course, John Tavares was out, you know, since early in the series. And, you know, that's something I think that, like, could be used as an excuse, but this Maple Leafs team is so far beyond any single player. Like, they had so much more talent, I feel like, than Montreal. And Montreal had better depth, better, you know, puck possession, better style this time of year, but and the better goalie in Price. But it's just very disappointing to see no goals from Mitch Marner in the series, one goal from Austin Matthews in the series, and a quick exit onto the summer for the Maple Leafs.
I'm not surprised they lost the series. I am surprised they're up 3-1 in the series and somehow can't find a way to win a game. And if you look at those, If you look at games 5, 6, and 7, how many periods, Robbie, of good, solid hockey did they really play? Game 7, I don't know if there's a period they really played well. Maybe 2 periods in games 5 and 6 to send it to overtime. That's about it.
I mean, it was, you could count them on one hand, that's for sure. And I think even in game 7, you kind of felt, you know, after the first goal, Toronto did respond a little bit, right? They had some quality chances, but that penalty just killed them. And you could feel when that happened, that was over. Montreal scores that power play goal and the series is done. But, you know, moving forward for Toronto here, Davey, I don't think that they should blow this thing up. I mean, we see this in the NHL with high skill teams. You know, it just takes them some time for their core to get a little bit more experienced, you know, to learn the lessons, to learn how to play both ways. We saw this early on in Alex Ovechkin's career as well with the Caps. Like, they just couldn't break through. And then when they finally do, you know, they're bringing the Stanley Cup trophy home. So it does take time. You have to be patient. But I think this is a very stark lesson to learn here. Don't press the panic button on this team. I like the core a lot. I like their back end a lot. I think, Pete, you said it well. There's really no excuses, even with the injuries. I mean, Montreal would do anything to have a marquee talent like Austin Matthews on the other side of the ice. So there's really no excuse for them. But I think you don't want to overreact. You know, it was kind of a tight season. You know, just things didn't fall their way. And I think their veteran UFAs will probably be departing this summer there. And then obviously Freddie Anderson has probably played his last game as a Leaf as well. So there will be some change. Hopefully not too much, but something to keep an eye on this offseason.
Yeah, you know, the thing for me with Toronto was we mentioned all this veteran presence. They got Joe Thornton. They got Wayne Simmonds. But, you know, all the veterans they brought in, none of them had Stanley Cup playoff winning experience. Look, Montreal, I could be wrong here, but I think they're the team with the most cup winners left right now. They got Corey Perry, which the irony is Toronto, you know, didn't sign him when they should have. And so instead he signed with Montreal. Corey Perry, Eric Staal, Toffoli, like all these guys who have won contributed in that first round. Plus, you know, they also have Jake Allen, who if they needed him, if Carey Price for some reason got injured, the guy won a Stanley Cup too. So they have these veterans that they brought in during the offseason and during the season that just they know how to win. Toronto didn't have that. And I think it really showed, especially as the series wore on.
We'll spin it forward, but Petey, you would know better than me. Jumbo Joe Thornton, that 3-1 series lead collapse is a little reminiscent of some of those San Jose Sharks teams that Jumbo Joe was on and couldn't get over the hump. And that's what you're talking about, Davey. You got Corey Perry scoring goals in the playoffs like a wild man. And Toronto could have had him. But listen, that's hindsight. I think Rob's right. You can't really truly blow up this team. Like, what are you going to do? Like, you need a goaltender. We understand that. You're not going to trade Marner. I think Matthews is like 23 years old. These guys are in their you know, early 20s. So, yeah, it's disappointing because the talent is there. And, you know, you kept saying, oh, they learned the lessons of last year. Oh, they learned the lessons of, you know, losing against Boston. They're going to be ready this year. It's all set up for them this year, which is what I thought. But again, you get to that game 7, coin flip it, Carey Price in net. He plays great. We move on now. It's Montreal Winnipeg, which no one in America or Canada had as the North Division final.
Yeah, I think like one of you guys mentioned Tyler Toffoli. It's good to see him getting going with 3 points in the final 2 games of the series. That was one guy that was a big time regular season performer. And of course stepped up at the right time for Montreal. And like, I just wonder like one of these two teams is going to make it to the final four. And, you know, we really didn't expect that. We were talking about maybe some of the long shot appeal of the Winnipeg Jets to get that far. We knew they had the type of ceiling. But does Montreal have that type of ceiling with its depth and with some of these, you know, these players that have really stepped it up at the right time? Even Brendan Gallagher had a horrible series, but scored in game 7, you know, to cash in on his high shot volume. So I think we're starting to see these guys chip away and, you know, scratch the surface a little bit. I just wonder what's Montreal's ceiling here. Is it just one upset victory in the first round, or could they actually do it again here, Robbie?
Well, real quick, though, the line is Winnipeg -120 or so in the series. So it's basically like even money. These teams are pretty even as far as the bookmakers go. But yeah, Robbie, what is the ceiling of your Montreal Canadiens? I mean, this is a nice little run. So the Capitals are out, and now you're on board with the Canadiens in the second round here with a chance to go to the conference semifinals or conference finals, right? Or whatever you call it this year. But what is the ceiling, Robbie?
Well, I'll answer it honestly. I mean, it's not much higher than what we saw in round one, but it doesn't need to be if Carey Price is going to play this way. I mean, you kind of look at their forward group, and from a fantasy lens, they kind of have three second lines in a way. If you Kokkaniemi and Anderson and Byron can keep up that chemistry on the third line, I do like that. And then your fourth line, you guys already said it, Corey Perry scoring goals, Eric Staal looks good, and then Yoel Armia, you know, had a good first round as well. So that's a good depth fourth line right there. And then I think if you just have those guys in the top two lines, whether it's Gallagher, who ended strongly, or Suzuki, who had a nice three-game point streak to end the series, you know, on the second line, one of those two, you know, is really going to be the key cog for them in this series. And I think Suzuki's the one that I would identify that really has that gear if they were to play higher. If he's at a point per game or better in this series, I think Montreal gets it done. I picked him in seven games here, Davey. I do think, though, if you're looking at this on a betting lens, you'll probably want to shy away from the over in most of these games. Winnipeg, obviously, their offense has a higher ceiling, but Toronto's offense had a higher ceiling too, and they weren't scoring very many goals.
So the thing for me when I look at this series is, first of all, because Toronto lost, the North Division has the team with the two fewest points in the that are left. So what that means is whoever wins this Montreal Winnipeg series is going to play Colorado or Vegas in the Stanley Cup semifinals. So you look at that. Oh. I'm sure Colorado Vegas fans are salivating at that, saying, "Oh, we're going to have an easy we have an easy trip to the Cup final." But to me, you mentioned the goaltending. We saw how good Connor Hellebuyck is too. I mean, the guy won the Vezina Trophy last season. He, you know, he allowed, I think, what, eight goals in the four games to Edmonton. So I think whoever this series, I think it could come down to goaltending, and whoever wins, you know, I mean, yes, they're going to be a severe underdog in the semifinals, but we've seen high goaltending before. If they get some of that scoring, I mean, who knows, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be, you know, a pretty low scoring series, which is why, Robbie, I took your advice. I have both goalies in a series, you know, a DraftKings little series where you pick for the entire series in one day. I said, you know what? It's time to go with both goalies here. So let's see how that works out.
Both goalies, Davey? Is that even allowed? Is that that's within the rules?
So these rules, you get six. You can pick six players. There's prices, obviously, but what happens is one guy you get as a captain, so he counts as 1.5 times. So, you know, everyone got burned last round picking, what, Austin Matthews, you know, as a captain, or Connor McDavid. But usually I say, these, you know, it's going to be offensive, so I don't, you know, don't like to go with goalies. But this one, we said, hey, we'll take two. We'll take both goalies and, you know, okay, we'll fill a lineup out and, you know, we'll see what happens.
One thing that I think could give Montreal a little bit higher gear is if some of those defensemen get going offensively. I think it's pretty amazing that they were able to beat Toronto in a seven-game series with no goals from Shea Weber or Jeff Petrie, one assist for Petrie, no assist for Weber in the series. I mean, those are guys through the years in fantasy that we've come to expect some nice scoring pop from, especially Petrie this year in the regular season. So, and, you know, I just think he's capable of more. I think if those guys get going and outperform the Neil Pionks of the world and the Josh Morrisseys, you know, guys that had a solid first round in their upset win against Edmonton. But I think the other two guys on Montreal could give them a little bit of an edge here.
I agree with that. I mean, you always look at these snake drafts that we're doing on NHL.com/fantasy. I'm taking Petrie or Weber almost every night, or I have been, and they're doing nothing for me but blocking shots and getting a couple shots per game the other way. So, yeah, I think you're right. They need to break through there. They'll get a higher ceiling. But the other side of the ice, we can't overlook Winnipeg's forwards, though. I mean, this is a team that's kind of been scratching at the surface the past few years. They've been primed for deep runs. A lot of analysts like that team a lot. And now that they're kind of a shell of their former self with less defensive depth, they're somehow in this position really better suited to go on a deep run this year. So do you guys see Winnipeg kind of digging deep and maybe using that to their advantage, that, you know, they're not the team they used to be, but still in a better position with a better lane to get deeper than in years past?
Well, the forward depth is a lot better than Montreal as far as I'm concerned. And then the next edge they have is, give me Paul Maurice, okay, all day over the first year head coach Ducharme. So that's where I see the big edge. I mean, Paul Maurice is a mastermind tactician. And Ducharme, we'll see. I mean, it's his first series. It's his first go-around. Plus, Montreal's forwards, lots of youth there. So I think Winnipeg, listen, if Hellebuyck plays well, you know, Winnipeg tightens it up like they did against Edmonton, They should move on. I like them in this series, but the caveat there is Carey Price. And does Carey Price have enough steam in the engine after going seven while Hellebuck played the four game? You know, that's it. Who does Montreal start in game one, by the way? Do they go with Price? I guess it has to be, right? But you thought that with Vegas, they went with Lehner. You know, there was some disagreement there. Could it have been Fleury? I think Montreal probably would go with Price, but we'll see.
The Vegas decision, it really boggled my mind. I mean, Fleury, he was playing unbelievably to begin with. There was no reason to start Lehner. Obviously, Fleury's going to start tonight, game two. But to me, I'm thinking, we saw Colorado had that long layoff. They came back and just blew the doors open. Winnipeg's been off for, you know, more than a week, I think 9 days. Montreal just played 2 days ago. But I don't see this Winnipeg as coming out of the gates, you know, like the way Colorado did. I really think Montreal is going to win tonight. Carey Price is going to be in net. They played so well. The momentum's carrying over. I just feel like 9 days is such a long layoff for anyone. And to me, I thought Colorado would win game one, but, you know, no, I did not think they would come out just absolutely like flying and firing the way they did. But I feel like tonight we're going to see a little bit of a slow Winnipeg team. It's just, like I said, for teams that played four or five games in a week to have 9 days off, I mean, I think Montreal is going to win like a squeaker tonight.
Hey, Colorado came out like you, Davey, when you get out there on the target line for those baseball cards and hockey cards, like absolute animals out there. And Colorado, another level. That's like you getting on that target line for the cards, Davey.
I've never, you know what? It's funny. We talk about this. I've never actually done the target line. I'm kind of too lazy. I can't do it. I'm more lying. Of an online. I wake up early. I go online and I'm a hawk, but the lines, it's a little too much for me right now.
Well, we were saying it, guys, right? Like nobody was going to benefit from that time off more than the Avalanche would. And definitely was a crazy barrage of scoring in that game. Definitely feel like a little bit of doubt right off the bat on Vegas's end. You were already a little doubtful after they couldn't score much in the series against Minnesota up until the final game, but, you know, definitely some shades of doubt for the Golden Knights against the Avalanche based on one game. They'll get back at it on Wednesday, but yeah, to touch on the Jets, I'm picking the Jets to win the series. I like their top two lines a lot more. I like their elite scorers. I think Hellebuck can keep it tight with Carey Price. If it gets any higher scoring, you know, than the first two series went in the North Division, I think it favors Winnipeg. And I think, you know, some of those guys can also benefit from, you know, an extra little bit of rest. Like Blake Wheeler has been banged up here and there. I think Dubois banged up for sure. Ehlers only played two games in the last round, had two goals, both in the same game. But yeah, I think that those guys have a chance to benefit from the rest. I think they'll come out fresh. I think they'll win game one. I took a couple of their guys in our snake draft, including Ehlers. So, you know, definitely excited about that. And Mark Scheifele has been deep in the playoffs before and has scored a ton of goals. The 1 year scored 14 goals in a single postseason. These guys are a little grizzled, and they proved in the Edmonton series that they can go lower scoring and grind out games like I don't think we've seen in years past from the high-powered Winnipeg Jets.
And I think in one key thing, too, you mentioned it, Davey, I don't think they can sit Price here. They can't afford to do that after what we saw with, you know, Robin Lehner getting the call over Marc-Andre Fleury. You don't want to speculate. Maybe Fleury was tired and needed a night off. I don't know. I can't say for sure. But after a 7-1, you know, letdown, I mean, opening game of the series that we've all kind of been hyping up here, I mean, that I did not enjoy seeing that. And I'm definitely maybe pressing the panic button for the win for the Vegas Golden Knights just a little bit here, gentlemen.
The boys over at NHL at the Rink had Gary Lawless on. Gary Lawless had an interesting perspective. I think everyone thought, why would you go to Lehner there? You had Fleury playing great. His point was, whether you had Lehner in there or you had Fleury, you were probably going to lose that game. You were out of steam. You were out of starch. And rather than throwing Fleury out there, who's already tired, played seven games, give Lehner some reps. I don't know if I love that mentality where you're basically conceding a game, but that sort of logic I can understand also, where Lehner hasn't played, get him out there, get him some reps, and plus Fleury's out of gas, you're probably at a disadvantage anyway in that game. Well, not to go into the weeds, just pointing that out, that there's that perspective also.
Well, and Lehner is a world-class goalie, though. I mean, if he's coming in as your backup and, you know, conceding a game, I wouldn't say that much. I think he just – he wasn't ready to play, and Vegas wasn't ready to play. And after a tight series against Minnesota, how do you figure out how to play a more up-tempo style against the Colorado Avalanche, the best up-tempo team in the league, above Tampa Bay, in my opinion? You can't do that. And I think that's where it's going to bite them in the series. Obviously, I like Colorado a lot in this one, but we need to see a big time response game from Vegas tonight. We need to see Pacioretty play like the player he can be. And Mark Stone has got to put the team on his back. Otherwise, McKinnon's running away with this thing.
They need to get a split. They need to go back to T-Mobile 1-1. That has to be the goal of Vegas going into this series. Colorado, I mean, I actually asked the At the Rink guys, what is the best postseason record for a team playing these seven game series under the traditional format? I think it was the Kings back in whatever year it was where they won each series like 4-1. I actually think Colorado can steamroll through these playoffs. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but they're, I mean, between Makar and the D and the forwards and then Groovy Dooby Doo doing what he's doing, I mean, Colorado can steamroll here. They're that good. They're that fast. Again, don't want to get ahead of myself too much, but I mean, they were running circles around the Blues. They ran circles against Vegas, and I think Vegas is going to put up a fight. I think they'll get this game to split it up, but boy, they just on the ice, they just the speed is unbelievable.
You know, it kind of reminded me of, I guess, what was it, the outdoor game in Vegas when Colorado, we were all looking forward to that. And I think what Vegas won like 6-2 or 6-3 or something, or Colorado won like 6-2, whatever it was. And, you know, there's like a, they mic'd up Alex Pietrangelo, and all we see is McKinnon's coming down the ice and he says, oh boy. And McKinnon just skates around him, fires that shot. And I'm watching that game on Monday thinking this is the same thing. But Robbie, you're right. Pacioretty, they finally got him back. What, game 6 or 7 last series? They need him to get going. And Bob, you're also right. If they don't split this, there's no chance. Vegas has no chance of winning 4 out of 5 games against Colorado. So if they don't win tonight, I mean, they're not the Maple Leafs. It's all but over if Colorado wins this tonight.
And then you also have like probably the other best team out there. I mean, that's what I like. I've seen enough so far. We're only like 5 games in for Colorado and what a few more for Tampa. But like Colorado and Tampa, I think right, that was Robbie's pick. I mean, that seems like it's a total collision course right now. Not to totally, you know, dismiss the Carolina Hurricanes. I think they are capable of winning one, maybe even both in Tampa Bay. That team is capable of something like that. And certainly Vegas is capable of stealing one on the road and, you know, having a glimmer in the series. But, you know, when I step back and look at the body of work so far, it's Vegas. I mean, it's Colorado, it's Tampa, and nobody else is close.
I think Carolina is in a bit of trouble here, goalie master, because Alex Nedeljkovic has played pretty well for them, but Tampa Bay only got 15 shots last night, 1-2-1 fashion. And you just know when that team goes home, like they're going to bring another kind of energy with the packed barn down there in Tampa Bay. And I think they're going to have to go back to Mrazek now. Yeah. And then he's going to be a little bit rusty and he's going to get shelled. They're going to be down 3-0 and they're done. I mean, I just think that that's where you kind of backed yourself into a bit of a corner with Nedeljkovic. Anybody, Nedeljkovic, James Reimer, Mrazek probably would have beat the Predators in a 7-game series. I'm not disrespecting Nashville. It's just the way it is with that Carolina team. Now that you went Nedeljkovic this whole time, throw Mrazek in there and he's going to have some holes tonight. I just worry that team may be finished if they go down 3-0 and that's it.
I was on the wrong side of that one last night. Took Carolina game 2, thought they'd even it up. Didn't happen. We talked about it all year. I think you can go back a couple episodes. I mean, Vasilevsky, world-class goalie, and as good as Nedeljkovic has been and as good as Carolina's goaltending has been, it's not on the same level as Tampa. And they really, I thought Carolina deserved to win the game, but they had, and Brendan Moore said it post-game, they're not separated by that much in these two games. It's just Tampa took both games. I mean, they're up 2-0 and they're going home. And I have a hard time believing that Carolina is going to be able to tighten this thing up and get it to 6 or 7. We'll see.
Well, I agree on the goalie issue. To me, you have 3 goalies. So as well, you know, even if Nedeljkovic played well, they lost both games. You have to do, you know, it's the old, you have to do something. You got to change something up. So one of those other guys is going to be starting game 3. You'd have to think. To me, I would probably give Peter Mrazek the call just because, you know, he was injured of, you know, numerous times during the regular season, but the guy was leading the league in save percentage, goals against. I forget his shutouts, but he had a really good record before he got injured. Then he had a really good record when he came back from the first injury. I think he kind of slipped after, you know, a couple starts after the second injury, but the guy's numbers were great during the season. I'd say give Nedeljkovic a break, you know, maybe it boosts the team just to some fresh, you know, some fresh energy in there. And as you said, the fact that they had those two home games in front of whatever it was, like 17,000 fans, and they couldn't win those. Now they're going on the road. I know Tampa's not going to have as many fans, but to me, the Lightning, they don't really need, look at what they did on the road. Like they're, and last year in the bubble, like they could have no one in their crowd and they're still going to come out firing in game three. So I think Tampa's going to win game three, but definitely Carolina has to, they got to have a different goalie in there because we don't really know what they can do with their lineup, right? Wow. I think they have some injured guys, so they might not even be able to change that much from the forwards. You know, their defensemen, we know they're like stacked. So I think the goalie issues, you're going to have to throw in a different goalie just to like change things up.
When was the last time Mrazek started? And Davey, you're saying regardless, Tampa's going up 3-0 here and put a nail in the series. It's over for Carolina. You're saying that right now. You're eulogizing Carolina already here on June 2nd.
If I have the sledgehammer, I would put it tomorrow on the Lightning because they're going up 3-0. I don't think there's any question about that.
I like the confidence. They did the same thing. They didn't go up 3-0. They lost game three to the Florida Panthers, but I think you could look back at that series and say some similar things. Of course, it was a little higher scoring than this one was so far, but you could say, oh, the Panthers deserve better. It was such a thin margin for error, all that stuff. Yeah, the bottom line is that Tampa can win when you go high. They could win when you go low. They can do anything in between, and they have their five-star players healthy. So who's going to be able to match that across the league? Even Colorado, if they played each other, you'd give an edge to Tampa Bay right now. So, and Alex Killorn too, he's got 9 points in 8 games so far. I mean, that's a secondary guy that we were kind of knocking some of their secondary guys, or at least I was doubting them based on the end of the regular season. Cirelli scored a big goal. You know, of course, those guys are playing with Stamkos these days, so that helps matters. But yeah, I think we've seen a blossoming again from Tampa Bay. And you could say, you know, a lot of people on the comments section, they knock this team. They say, you know, oh, they're playing X amount of dollars over the cap and they found the loophole. Yeah, I mean, they're playing by the rules and they got a great roster. So someone else is going to have to rise to the occasion and beat this team. Otherwise, they'll repeat like the Penguins did a couple of years ago.
It's funny because, you know, when the Islanders lost game one, 5-2, I wasn't worried about that team at all, right? Like they can have a stinker game, but you know, they're going to be ready to play the next game.
Right.
When Vegas lost 7-1, I'm like, I'm worried about that Vegas team straight up. When Montreal was down against Toronto, I wasn't worried because Montreal's a scrappy team. They can battle back. They've got that kind of edge. I feel the same way about Tampa Bay. I just think they're too good. I think they're putting Carolina away, and I am worried about Carolina now. I don't like that we're talking about Peter Mrazek right now and Nedeljkovic, yeah. And they kind of, Rod Brind'Amour made his bed with that, and it's like that might come back to bite them. I think, Davey, you said it really well. Mrazek had his best season to date in the regular season. They were at their prime when he was in the net and when he was healthy, and I just think that that decision is going to be one that he's going to regret and lose sleep over this summer because you give the rookie the opportunity. You say, hey, we're such a good team that we can win with no matter what we've got net. It's not going to happen against a team like Tampa Bay, even with Victor Hedman not 100%. It doesn't matter. They've got Killorn. They've got Ross Colton, who's been a good rookie in the postseason so far. I mean, you have guys like that that are just going to score goals, and that's too bad. Carolina can't match that.
Cirelli, even look at what Cirelli did yesterday, and he has got what 4 or 5 goals in the playoffs, and just spun around what Brady Shea yesterday in that second goal. Yeah. So they got him too.
I'm on board with you guys. Let's pile the dirt on Carolina. Their season's done. No, I mean, I love Rod Brind'Amour. Love that team. Love the players on the team. Svechnikov has not been great. He got a goal late in that game. He's got to score some more. Hopefully it's not a sweep job. Hopefully it's not a 3-1, you know, snoozer. Cause I think everyone was looking forward to that series. I look ahead to tonight and we're talking Vegas, Colorado. I think I'll take the candy with Vegas at like plus 172, 180, whatever it is, and say they can level it up. As scared as I am to do that, they get the 2 days off, a little breather, a little reset, get Flurry back in net, and you just have to figure out a way to win one game. Is Colorado mortal? Are they, or are they just going to march right through and blow everyone out of the water? It looks that way, but I think at plus 180, I'll take Vegas at home, or excuse me, on the road, and you know, take my chances.
I think it's 32 points that the Avs top line has combined for through five playoff games. I mean, I can't bet against the Avalanche right now. I don't see one player on Vegas's end that can produce the way that, and maybe Stone, but that's about it. Pacioretty might get you a goal here. I don't see any single player on Vegas being able to stack up with any of those guys on Colorado, including Makar, who's up to 28 points in 30 career playoff games. That's the thing. A lot of these guys, very young, Rantanen, Makar, they have a ton of playoff experience for such young players, and you know, have been knocking at the door for 2 years now with the game seven losses in the second round. This team is primed for something special, very deep run. If
so, they're going to win every
hold
game?
Serve. No, they're not going to win every game. I think they'll lose one in Vegas, but they could win this series in five games. I mean, that's the way that this team's playing right now. So, yeah, I'm really confident in the Avs. I think, you know, it's kind of cool to see what's going on in Colorado these days with the, I mean, the fans back there. And I know it's the hottest ticket in town, so it's going to be a fun series. I do expect Vegas to bounce back at some point when they go back home, but Colorado could really continue to keep the floodgates open here.
Let's get some tickets. Let's get some airline tickets. We should do Colorado, and then we go to Vegas, and that'd be a nice little two game session, Davey. What do you think?
Could see a Rockies game maybe on an off day.
Rockies game, the worst team in baseball. I got two world-class hockey teams and buildings. You want me to go to a Rockies game? Holy cow, Davey.
So Davey thinks the only way the Avalanche lose is if what happens last year. They both goalies got hurt. Grubauer got hurt. Francouz got hurt. And, you know, they had to turn to a third string and like a fourth string guy against Dallas. And to me, that's the only way they lose, because the backup right now for them, I mean, they have Devan Dubnyk, but he's been pretty much a scratch. And Jonas Johansson's been the backup, but, you know, they acquired him from the Sabres, played pretty well in a couple starts. But, I mean, come on. I know the Avalanche can score four or five goals a game, but you really don't want that to put your hands in that guy if Vegas shooters are coming down at you. So, to me, the only way that Colorado doesn't at least get to the Cup final and win two more rounds is if something happens to Grubauer, because he's a Vezina Trophy finalist. He's played unbelievable this entire year before, you know, the COVID. But still, he's, you know, second in the league in wins. He's right up there in goals against, shutout, save percentage. So, you know, everyone talks about their offense, but this guy's been a really huge part of their success this season too.
In a contract year too for Grubauer, major props to him.
And he won the Stanley Cup as the backup with the Capitals. So, you know, they funny irony, they started him and he failed. So they went to Holpe, but hey, he still got his name on the cup. He's got one. So he's got the experience. And this year he's been doing great for them.
Well, I'm with Petey tonight. I mean, I'm not betting against the Avs. I like the price for Vegas, but I cannot bet against that Avs team right now. And it just wouldn't it be so ironic if the two series that we were billing to be the greatest second round of all time are total duds.
I mean,
isn't that just the way that it works sometimes? And then the Islanders, Bruins will go seven games. We'll have Montreal, yep. Winnipeg go seven games. And both Colorado and Tampa Bay will just be sitting there waiting to play their next round.
It'll be a huge disappointment of Vegas, Colorado, if the series doesn't live up to the hype. And a big part of that, you'd have to just look at it. I've said it over and over again. The fact that Colorado got St. Louis in that first round and Vegas had to deal with Minnesota, just a much better team. I think David Perron going down for St. Louis changed the look of St. Louis, and St. Louis obviously got swept out of the building by Colorado. I'm a little more hopeful. I think Fleury can steal a game. I think Vegas, I'm taking them tonight. Colorado going to win every single game. Are they going to win every single game? I mean, come on, let's go Vegas.
Maybe.
Even this sucker up. I know they may. I said
they
it yesterday.
Might. Yeah, like, they might.
I want to see again, if they win tonight, then I'm really going to start looking at Colorado and be like, can they win the Stanley Cup with the least amount of losses the whole way through? Because they're that, I mean, that's how they're performing right now, to have that conversation. I mean, they're, the teams, their opposition aren't even keeping up with them. So you could have that conversation. We'll see what happens tonight. I like Vegas. I like that price.
I think you're right, Bobby. I believe that Kings team, they beat the Devils. I think they started out 10-0. They had two sweeps, and I think they were 16-4, I think is what they were. I think they only had four losses. Might have been five, but look at this Colorado team. They could match that. I mean, they're that good, as you said.
And what do you guys think about the Islanders series? They're going back home to the Coliseum, all knotted up 1-1. They blew a lead in game two, but they held them off in overtime. Nice response for them, and they turned back to Semyon Varlamov. So, you know, the Islanders got two great options. They're making the Bruins sweat a little bit here. And I think the series complexion changes going back to the Coliseum, where the Islanders should get one and, of course, have the type of atmosphere and potential to get both and, you know, turn the tide in the series, really. But, you know, good spot that the Islanders are in. And I know you mentioned it earlier, Ravi, they're resilient, they're deep. Whether it's the goaltending or the offense, their shutdown pair always does work against some of the biggest names in the NHL. And this is where we stand once again with New York.
I don't know if they have an answer, Robbie, for that top line, though. Bergeron and Pasta and Marchand are like, you know, Marchand just, I mean, chance after chance after chance after chance. I don't know. And then isn't it weird that Cassidy came out and was like, oh, Tuca might have a groin pull? Like, what was that about? That seemed a little odd. I mean, you have one, you have Trotz, who won't even tell you who the starting goalie is. And then you have the other flip of the coin, Cassidy. Oh, yeah, we might have a goalie with a groin pull. No big deal. I mean, I think that might be playing a little mind games with the Islanders. That doesn't make much sense to me.
I don't know. I mean, it could have been a slip too. Just like, oh, you know, he's got a little nagging injury and kind of defending Tuukka Rask. And I don't like hearing that, Davey, from a goalie that, you know, Tuukka Rask is recent history. I just doesn't make me too confident about him. And then they kind of have the same problem where if they have, you know, Jaro Halak or Swayman, I guess, who deserves to be the primary backup, come in and try to win a game, I don't think you're going to see the Swayman magic that you saw against the Buffalo Sabres in early May. I mean, I just think the stage is different. And Pete, the Islanders, in my opinion, are the most scrappy team in this playoffs. So they are one of the deepest teams, not in terms of like talent, but just in terms of guys that buy into Trotz's system and they don't have a bad shift. And I think that regardless of how well Pasternak, Bergeron, and Marchand are playing together, you're just going to see a response from the Islanders' third and fourth line. Like, you're going to see an energy shift, the exact next shift, and the complexion of the game will change on that alone. I don't think that's as much of a factor as Colorado's top line that's literally skating circles against the best, you know, opposition defense in the NHL. It's just a different ballgame here when we're talking about the New York Islanders.
The thing for me about the Islanders is what they played seven. If you said before the playoffs, hey, seven games in, Matt Barzal will have no goals and will be tied. They'll be tied in the second round. I mean, it's just the way they buy in. You know, he's had some quality chances. He hasn't scored, but the way the Islanders locked down defensively, I mean, as soon as Trotz took over, we knew the numbers were going to go down for Barzal. You know, he was what, 82. He was a point per game the rookie year, and the points went down, but the Islanders kept winning. What, they were what, a win or two away from the cup final last year. So you're right. They find ways to win. Everyone's buying in. I mean, Casey Cizikas looked like, you know, Wayne Gretzky with that move there. He had a shoot with that move he had there. I mean, what, he's a fourth line guy who blocks faceoffs, kills penalties, and comes in flying there and just beats Rask with that goal. I mean, to me, that looked like something else. The guy hadn't scored in 5 years in the playoffs.
That was a sick goal. And it's almost like, you know, he knew he had to bury that shot. And it was just a perfect shot. I mean, such a bad break for Boston. The thing bounced off the skate right to Cizikas, and he, again, you know, you see so many Barzal with the breakaways. I mean, Eberle with the breakaways, and then Casey Cizikas roofs one basically, or, you know, top left. I mean, that was a sick shot.
The amazing thing about the Islanders to me is, like, speaking about the team element of this thing, like, they don't have one guy. You couldn't say one of those guys is like a Conn Smythe candidate, right? Like, they just, like, they all fly under the radar. Beauvillier and Pageot lead them in scoring with 9 points in 8 games. Bailey's been a rock for them. Both goalies have been viable, you know, not so much in the playoffs, but all year long with what Varlamov did in the regular season. But yeah, no goals from Barzal. I mean, it's just amazing how this team continues to be maybe the toughest out in the league each postseason, or one of the toughest every single year. And, like, they don't even have like a huge name that performs at the highest level relative to the rest of the league. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
they don't have who's their Conn Smythe front runner.
Lamarillo.
Good point.
Lamarillo. And we're going to get Nick Alberga. Everyone chip in here, you know, put a couple dollars in for Nick Alberga. We got to decide, do we get him an Islanders jersey with Lamarillo on the back, or do we get him a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey with Lamarillo on the back? Because ever since Lamarillo left, Lou left Toronto and brought Martin and Komarov with him, I think they've won like 5 playoff series in Toronto with the big fat goose egg with Tavares. So Lou getting some props. He deserves it.
Oh, no credit. I mean, and then to a Kadri on the shelf for Colorado doesn't impact them, but somehow it always impacts the Maple Leafs when that was happening, right? That argument's totally out the window now, right? So, but I do want to ask you guys, so Varlamov came in, you know, won the game against the Bruins. Do you think they keep riding him? I loved what I saw from Sorokin, you know, in round one, but it pretty seems that this is clear. Varlamov is the guy to go to right now, right, Petey?
I mean, I wouldn't have an issue playing Sorokin in game 3 and maybe even giving one guy a start in each game, depending on how it goes. I mean, I think, yeah, Sorokin outside of that game 1 has been really strong in the playoffs. And I think he would play really well in front of the home crowd. Islanders have been a great home team all year. So I don't think it matters. I think they got a great chance to win game 3. And I would not be hesitant if they were discouraged at all by what they saw late in regulation from Varlamov, and of course squeaking out the win anyway, but going back to Sorokin, I wouldn't be against that for game 3 at all.
I kind of want to see Sorokin in game 3. I think it would be interesting. You know, coaches don't usually do that. A guy wins a game and then, yeah. Well, I think the first or second shot, you know, they scored on Varley, and then he was pretty solid for, you know, as you mentioned, most of the rest of the way, definitely the third, you know, later third and overtime. But to me, the Islanders they don't really have a bad decision. The guys have both played well during the season. Their system just benefits them greatly. So I don't think they can make a bad decision here, but for me personally, I think it'll be Sorokin. And I'd like to see, I think that would be game 3, the barn rock, and just get him in there. I think that'd be, the fans would love that too.
And I don't want to seem like we're totally overlooking the Bruins. Like, they are a really good team here. There's no doubt. I just think playoff hockey, we're seeing it again already this year. It's won in different ways, and the Islanders just somehow to know how to do that. So they're definitely taking one in Nassau. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And that's all they need to stay in this series. So should be a good one. But before we let go here, Petey, I know that you and I started our off-season story for fantasy content. So if there's anything, you know, on the radar, we saw Pekulzin sign with the Canucks, should be an interesting one. And then we had Barabanov, you know, to ink a deal there. So some already, you know, next season stuff, you know, to keep an eye on. You can catch that on NHL.com/fantasy.
So for Bobby, Robbie, Davey, thanks for coming on, buddy. Pete Jensen saying so long. Talk to you next time. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Enjoy the playoffs. We'll